Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is a Dave original podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Hypothetical Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Pugh. My guests today will be Josh Widdicombe and James A. Custer. How are you guys?
Good.
Very good.
How are you, Josh?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Where are you? Your respective homes?
Yeah, yes. Actually. In London. Where are you based?
I'm based in the Midlands.
Yes. Coventry.
Yeah, near Coventry. But today I'm actually recording in London.
Oh
yeah, came down to record this remotely, but from London.
Yeah,
just I would like to be close to the industry when I'm doing this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, is it true that you're outside the BBC looking at it?
yeah, just on my phone. I've got as far as reception.
Guz Khan was recommending somewhere to eat in Coventry to me the other day, called something like Farmhouse or something.
Yeah, the Farmhouse. It's like You can't take your own beer. No, you can take your own beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in a lot of restaurants, you can't take your own beer. The very, you know, the ones that you can take your own beer to, they're very keen to tell you that, but the ones you can't take your own beer to, they just assume you know not to.
Yeah. They don't say, oh, our big rule is don't bring your own beer.
Yeah. DBYOB.
Yeah.
But you enjoying this as a concept,
yeah,
the podcast?
Yeah. I think, you know, little tip to anyone who's starting up their own podcast, have a guest host every week so you don't have to actually do anything. It's great.
It's a piece of piss.
It's the best.
I hate hosting stuff as well. I can't.
Yeah?
Oh, good to have you here.
I can't read. I didn't realise I can't really read.
Am I right in saying you're legally blind? Is that right?
Yeah, legally. Yeah, not one of these illegal blind guys you hear about.
Very.
How much sight have you got?
I've got about, they say about 15% vision I've got. But it's been like this for so long, obviously I notice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so used to looking at stuff dead close or just asking somebody else to read stuff. But thanks for asking me to read out loud on the spot.
We thought it'd be a laugh.
Totally.
Yeah.
But so today you will be competing for my respect.
Yes.
And, you know, the opportunity to be considered a close friend of mine.
Oh, ooh, great.
But also that there's prizes up for grabs. The prizes are unlimited use of a deck chair of your choice.
Ooh.
A photograph of Sir Mo Farah, which has been signed by Joe Swash.
Oh.
And some gardening knee pads.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So you'll be going head-to-head. And the first round... The producers of James Bond are working on the next movie. They've got the new Bond. Great, that's sorted. But what they're struggling to come up with is a new villain. And that's where we come in.
Oh.
Whoever invents the best one will get a share of the sweet, sweet merch plus all the Bonds on DVD.
Right.
But there are some rules. So your villain must have a name. They've got names, guys. A distinct look. They must have an original backstory, a lair or home. and their own unique way of killing people. And one more, they must be played by you. What do you think makes a good villain? What qualities?
I think they need to have a kind of a trigger point that changed them into the villain.
Totally.
You know what I mean? I think like a backstory that created meant that they... I was going to say, I mean, I don't really know. James will be aware of this, that I despise superhero films.
Yep.
I know Bond doesn't quite fall into that, but it's kind of... It's the same ballpark.
It's make-believe, so Josh doesn't like it. That's essentially...
Yeah.
I'm the same, Josh. So I love Harry Potter, but only like the first 10 minutes of the first film, you know, when he's just in suburbia.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm loving this. This feels very British, very Ken Loach. And then when he gets in a flying car, like, I'm out of it. And now I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, first 10 minutes of each film, quite nice. Just him looking around with the Dursleys.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you'd love the spin-off, the Dursleys.
That's what I'd like,
Just the Dursleys, please.
Privet Drive or wherever they live.
Yeah, Privet Drive. Yeah, like it feels quite Brookside-y, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that trigger point is definitely a thing, and that's something that your villains will need to have. You'll need to have something in maybe your earlier life which kind of set you on a path to evil.
Well, do you know what I'm going to go for? So I think I like a villain when they're based around something. Like, I like the villains in Batman because they've got, like, he's a penguin or he's a Joker or he's a kind of, do you know what I mean? That kind of two-dimensional. They're a thing and this led them. I don't know what led the penguin to be the penguin. Was he attacked by penguins or something? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think he was attacked by a swarm of penguins.
That feels unlikely.
Like...
Yeah. Maybe I'd be... my villain would be a panel show contestant who'd had a bad one and never got over it.
Here we go. Okay. I mean, this seems to be drawing from real life experience. What's this?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? What performance are you thinking of in your head that you've had?
What, of my own?
Yeah. What is it that you've never got over?
I think my worst ever was probably Nevermind the Buzzcocks, which was an absolute disaster. I both did badly and I offended Lewis Smith, the gymnast. So it was a terrible day all round.
Would you ask him again? How far can you jump or something?
No, he did a moonwalk and I said, if you'd done the moonwalk, you might have got gold rather than silver. And he did not like it.
He hated you.
Yeah.
And also, it's also incorrect. It would have placed lower, I would say.
Probably would have come last.
So yeah, so that, but then that manifests itself in your actions then, doesn't it? As a villain.
Yeah, so I'm going to take over the media world and turn it all into a... Because they're always trying to take over the world kind of militarily, aren't they? But obviously the world is online now, so I'm going to kind of take over all forms of media and just broadcast my face.
Because you did badly on a panel show.
Because I did badly on a panel show, I've never got over it, and now I need to make the world to laugh at me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And what would your face be doing, telling jokes?
Yeah, it would be delivering... witty one-liners about pictures of topical news stories.
Yeah.
Give us an example.
Why has Barack Obama got such a big hat on? That kind of thing. You know, the kind of thing you do on the week? When you're really struggling and you're looking at the stuff in the background, like, that guy in the red tie's not enjoying his tango, is he? That kind of thing. You know, when you, like, you see the guy right at the back door.
That's one of my most hated things that people do. You know, if you post a picture of something and they pick something that is in the background or which isn't the subject of the picture to comment on that.
Yeah.
I find that such an annoying thing that people do. Like, people, you put a screenshot on it, people are commenting on your battery life. It's like, get a life, man. What about you, James? If you backstory, how were you wronged as a younger man?
Well, most Bond villains are always... they're rarely English, aren't they? They're always, tend to be from a different country, tend to be evil stereotypes from other countries. So I think I would make my Bond villain English, but, really play on all the disharmony and the division in the UK right now. So I'll be someone like a real hardcore patriot who hangs his flag up in the window and has become disillusioned with his country. So, like, the opposite of what most Bond villains would be.
Yeah,
so I've got a bit more room to play with there. So yeah. I'll be someone who's like, used to think England stood for this. And obviously I hate, you know, whoever it is, Bond works for, the Secret Service. I hate them because everything that Britain stood for has been eroded now. And they've let me down as well. You know, whoever the new Bond is going to be, I'm not going to be happy with them.
No, Jodie.
And so I'm trying to tear. I'm specifically trying to tear their organisation down because I want to tear down the monarchy and the government and everything that is British.
Coronation Street.
Because I want to start again and build a real Britain.
Have you got a name in mind, James, for your villain?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he would be called Ken, and the villain's name would be United Kendom.
Oh, that's nice.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you got a name, Josh? What are you thinking for your name?
Yeah, so that's difficult, isn't it? Because I wouldn't want it to hint at any other comedians. That puts me in a difficult position because I've got to choose a name that wouldn't apply to any other comedians.
Do you know, I was about to suggest, because you were saying about telling jokes, I was about to suggest, figure this was going to be totally fine, the Joker. That's literally what I was about to say, thinking that's all right. Come up
but,
with that.
But I think the thing with my character is that the reason he's done badly on these shows is he's not got properly good jokes, so they're just kind of bon mots or quips. So I'd be called the Quipper.
The Quipper. Yeah. People are going as Halloween dressed as the Quipper. But it's like the Joker, but without any makeup. They're just in a check shirt and a pair of New Balance trainers.
he's in a t-shirt that can't strobe on camera. And he's just. I think that's the thing about him is he's very mundane, but he's hugely hugely angry at what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you do need a distinct look. Is your distinct look just being so undistinct?
Yeah, I think it would be he'd have a shirt on, he'd have jeans, as you say, New Balance trainers, and he'd be wearing a little lapel mic as if he was on a TV show at all times, even though he's not on a TV show.
Yeah.
And then when he, like, traps Bond, he'd, like, tie him down and he'd go, and he'd make Bond banter with him and he'd attempt to banter him to death.
That's amazing.
So he'd be like, do you expect me to talk? And then, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to laugh.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of stuff?
Bond would go, do you expect me to talk? And he'd go, yes, about Theresa May. What have you got on her?
She ran through that cornfield. What are you going to say about it?
What do you think about her dancing? That's quite funny, isn't it? What have you got?
Yeah.
And what about a look for yours, James? Is yours kind of... Is Ken wearing anything?
He's got to be wearing the not the Union Jack, really. He'd wear the England... The flag of St. George... I think just be draped in that like a toga.
Okay.
Like the flag of St. George, like a toga. And he'd be walking around wearing that and probably like constantly eating the kind of exclusively food that you get at football games. So like pies and like
chips.
Football game snacks that he would be eating at the football.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
just
good.
Drinking Bovril.
Constantly drinking Bovril all the time.
How's he taking people out? How's he killing people?
Well, see, now this is where it gets gritty, right? Because I've got to think about... I don't want to go too realistic.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, that kind of guy. Overly patriotic people.
Yeah.
I could go down a very dark route and I don't want to. So I think I'd have to go... he would blare the national anthem at them through speakers that's so loud
that
their eardrums explode and their hearts explode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all their internal organs.
My heart explodes every time I hear the national anthem. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I stand up no matter where I am.
That's how he tricks some people. Actually, no, he'd want them on his side, those patriots.
Yeah.
Anyone who stands
that,
up.
Cinematically, that's quite good as well. That kind of people holding their ears, like you've got onto a big like tannoy PA system.
Yeah, maybe he booms it, James, at a seated level. So to avoid it, you have to stand up. So the people that stand up naturally, they survive.
And naturally, you put your hand over your heart if you love it, and that protects your heart from
exploding. Exactly. Yeah. What have you got a favourite national anthem? Mine's the Italian national anthem. I think it's incredible.
How does it go? Because Nish Kumar has a routine in his current show about national anthems, and he says about how everyone says the Italian national anthem is great, But he references it, and I was sitting there in the audience like, oh, no, I haven't heard that. I don't know.
Italia, Italia no more, si!
Yeah, I know.
But that's specifically the Italian rugby team singing. I don't know if it goes like that for everything.
Okay. You a rugby fan?
No, not really. I watch the Six Nations when it's on. But just for the anthems, and then I turn it off again.
Yeah, just like Harry Potter. First 10 minutes, then turn it off.
Yeah, I like, totally. When it starts throwing a ball around, I'm like, this would never happen in real life.
This is fake.
Yeah. And obviously, your villains have got to be played by you. Do you think your acting ability could stand up to playing these parts?
I think if there's any role I'm built for, this could work well for me. Yeah. Mm. I think I can channel personal experience, definitely. Yeah.
Similar with yours, James, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm disillusioned with my country now. It's not what it used to be. Yeah, easy, not even acting.
So I'm gonna award some points based on this. So
also, I want to point out in my character, actually, it would be like a Jacob Rees-Mogg kind of attitude that and very posh voice.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because... again, all the goodies in Bond are always very posh, people. I'd want to meet them with one of their own. Want to hold a mirror up.
Do you know what would be quite a nice backstory? Is if he'd trained with Bond.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he'd gone one way and Bond had gone the other.
That's nice.
You used to be a good English man, Bond. What happened to you? You've disappointed me. Oh.
Is he played by Kenneth Williams?
Yeah.
I'm going to give some points. I forgot to establish that the point scoring system up top.
That's all right.
So it's just out of five. I haven't done anything with the format in that regard at all. James, I'm giving you 4 points.
Oh yes.
So Josh, I'm giving you 2 points, Josh. Not that I don't like your villain. It felt less of a leap.
Yeah, it did. It did feel a bit. Bit first idea, didn't
it? Yeah, just in terms of a leap from your life.
Yeah.
I know you're supposed to draw on that as an artist, which, we are all artists. Yeah. But I just think, James is kind of a...
Yeah.
And also it's quite triggering for me personally, listening to that, Josh, listening to your...
Yeah.
Your quipper experience. And I think there could be some legal issues as well with the Joker.
Yeah, of course, yeah, that could be a problem.
So at the end of that round, James is on 4 and Josh is on 2. 2 points.
Yes. Long way to go.
Well, I think that's 50% of it done, actually.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I'm wrong about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now for our next round, not for a million quid, where our contestants, James and Josh, bid to see who would need to be paid the least to do the thing in question. I'll give the question, then you each bid a figure. The winner is whoever bids the lowest and can justify being able to cope with it. So the situation is, how much to dress up as the Grim Reaper for one whole year? Are we familiar with the Grim Reaper, his vibe?
I am. I'm totally familiar with the Grim Reaper, yeah.
Is there any rules?
It feels like there should be some rules, and there is. You must be wearing the full garb at all times, robe with hood up and a scythe. Hourglass is optional. You can't tell people the real reason you're doing it, and you don't have the power to end anyone's life except by conventional murder.
Okay.
So you're just genuinely going around in all the gear, making people feel uncomfortable.
One of my issues is I get hot very easily.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
I do. I struggle in heat. And in summer, a black, fully black robe over the head and body is going to be... It's a tough experience for me in the baking heat, I think. I think I'm going to struggle with that.
Yeah.
I also don't think it would suit you.
What do you mean by that?
I think I could pull off wearing a black robe and a scythe. I don't think you could pull it off.
For what reason?
Too short.
Wow.
I could get it turned up.
You'd be drowning in it, mate. Yeah. You look like a... I mean, I know you don't like fantasy stuff, but in Star Wars, there's a race called the Jawas.
Right.
And they go around in little robes and stuff, and you can just see their eyes glowing in the depths of the hood.
I'm going to Google these people. Jawas, yeah, Star Jawas. Wars.
You look like a little Jawa with your little red eyes glowing.
Oh, no, that is very offensive, yeah. Also, do you know what, Josh? We wouldn't be interested in it because it's not real.
No, it's not. And there's a lot of places you're not getting in with a scythe as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
You're not getting in a tiger with a scythe. That's taking off you at the door. Then you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Josh's main watering hole, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, that's my local, actually.
Do you go and they say, do you want you on the usual?
Yeah. Four vodka Red Bull. It doesn't open till 11. It's a bit inconvenient, to be honest. Finish work at 6. Still got 5 hours to kill. By the time I've gone home, I don't really feel like going back out again. Because it might be nice, you know, you're both kind of a level of fame now, a bit of anonymity. Might be quite a nice thing.
To be deaf? Is deaf even more famous than us? Yeah.
You're drawing attention to yourself. It's not anonymity in the sense that you're actually going to get more people turning round when you walk down the street.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Are we saying that's bad?
Yeah.
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 And also, I just quite embarrassingly asked the question out loud, is deaf more famous than us? And then had to say quite quickly, yes.
Yeah, but it's not death, is it? It's specifically the Grim Reaper. When I'm thinking the Grim Reaper, I'm thinking kind of like Scooby-Doo. And I wonder if, you know, the new generation, the Gen Zs, I wonder if they're familiar with the work of the Grim Reaper.
Oh, they're not, because he hasn't, you're saying that the Grim Reaper hasn't cracked TikTok, so that the young of the world aren't into it.
Yeah, it's kind of it's quite an old-fashioned concept, isn't it, the Grim Reaper?
He's too long form, so young people don't really, they haven't got the patience for the full Grim Reaper story.
I think, yeah, if you can't get the Grim Reapers, well, I don't know. What are you thinking in terms of how much, Josh, for a year walking about Grim Reaper, stumpy little legs under a big black cloth sign?
There was no need for that. There was no need for the stumpy little legs. I'd say 2 million. It's a real game changer to your life.
£2 million.
It's difficult with my kids. That would be very awkward.
Don't you think they'd like it?
Well, it's a good lesson for them, isn't it? I suppose. Yeah. The death comes to us all.
Yeah,
but
one
do they
day
need to learn
die.
It for a full year? I think it would be tough. I think, are you adapting? Are you going to, I don't think, you're not going to pretend you are, you're not going to play up to the role, are you? You're just going to go around your day-to-day life.
It's quite hard, isn't it? Because obviously do they know you're the Grim Reaper? Are they like, where's my dad gone?
Well, I think I'd just go, yeah, this is just what, I suppose the other thing with kids is, they're not really au fait with fashion, so they might just think that's what I wear these days.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So I could get away with it.
What are you thinking, James, if you had to put a figure on it? Which you do have to, it's the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 2 million, I don't know, 2 million might even be, because I was thinking how much my entire life would be affected by it. Quite a lot, because it's the scythe, really, that pushes it over the edge. The black robe would be pretty easy just to make that my look for the year.
Yeah.
The scythe, even if it was just the scythe and nothing else, just how much to carry a scythe for a year.
Yeah.
I think that would be the bit that would really challenge me. If anything, if you posed me the hypothetical, how much to carry a scythe for the year, My first solution would be to wear a black robe in order to therefore try and carry off that I'm the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I think if anything, it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be to work on a farm, James.
Yeah, well, I think I would quite like to, every time, like, you know, sometimes you're driving around, especially with this job, we're driving around the country and, you know, I live in a city, but sometimes you're driving through the countryside and you see a little house out on the hillside on its own and you think, oh, could I live there? Could I do that? And more increasingly now, every time I see those houses, I think I could actually. I think I could do it. Like, since lockdown and everyone being just, like, on their own in their own homes, I actually didn't mind it that much. And maybe I could be out on a hillside and maybe I could be a farmer and just be there with my scythe, you know, tending the land.
Yeah.
Working the earth.
It's quite hard work farming, though, isn't it? It's quite hard work.
Yeah.
It's the,
Yeah, but I'll be, like, hench at the end. I'll be, like, at the end of the year, I'm going to be ripped and have, like... all the beetroot I could ever want.
There's a farm near me, like a petting farm, where the kids can go round and like pet all the animals and whatever and get what it's like to be on a farm for a day. But they're not really getting the true perspective on farming there.
No, the little kids.
Yeah, they're just going in, little walk round, pet the animals in the gift shop. That's not farming.
No.
Open it up at 5 a.m, get them toiling in the fields.
Yeah.
And then they get undercut for the products at the end, for the produce.
Even though they voted to leave the EU, thinking it would solve it.
Totally.
Yeah. That's what you have that explained to them at the start, the kids. No, you voted to leave the EU, just so you know. All of you lot.
But yeah, it's the scythe. The scythe's a problem. How are you getting around the scythe, Josh? You just kind of...
Well, yeah, I think James is right. I think you'd have to just throw... Well, I suppose what I'd do is I go, well, if people asked, I'd go... I'm on the way to a fancy dress party. Obviously, this isn't a real scythe. I'm not a maniac.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be fine, wouldn't it? If you were constantly on your way to a fancy dress party...
I think if you
tell
people... Or coming
back, depending on the time of day. Yeah. So if it was like 8 a.m, I'd be like, oh, God, the bloody walk of shame. Pulled at a fancy dress party last night. Awkward.
If you tell people this isn't a real scythe, I think they're going to want to go on it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, let's pose on it then, this will be a laugh, and someone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I love them giving the option of having an hourglass. Carry that as well. That's optional. Yeah. As if it isn't. Yeah, if you haven't lumbered yourself with enough to carry around.
I don't know if that would help. Would an hourglass make things better? Like, could you at least distract from the scythe with the hourglass? At least if you've got that there, maybe people won't notice the scythe if you make a big enough deal of the fact you've got an hourglass.
Yeah. It's. Sand time is very like massive at school.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Scythes less so, though.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Well, I went to school in Devon, so there's still an element of farming going on a lot around the school. So there was a lot of people that would have handled a scythe by the age of 12 at my secondary school. But yeah, you would use the sand timer. You're given a much bigger view of what the sand timer will play in the rest of your life than actually what it does, aren't you, when you're at school?
Totally.
Yeah, really, it's just for certain board games, Articulate or something like that.
Yeah,
you might have
exactly.
The sand timer might come out.
Saunas.
Pardon me?
You still get a sand timer in a sauna. When you go in there, you tip
Do
it.
You?
Do you?
Yeah, you tip it upside down, it's on the wall. And it's like, that's...
Really?
Yeah, because obviously, I don't know if they can have clocks in there because of the heat.
I just completely... What? I've never heard of this.
Really? Yeah, as I said it and you both went silent, I was like, I thought, you're going to relate to this straight away.
It's a sauna, the sand timer in the sauna.
Yeah, and you wait to the sand timer and that means you've done 20 minutes in the sauna.
Nah.
Yeah.
I never knew that. What if someone else comes in? You're in the sauna, someone else comes in, they turn the sand timer over, it's going back the other way.
How many sand timers are in this sauna?
There's only one. It's for the group.
For the group?
Unless you bring your own and you can go off your own, play your own game. Do it your own way.
You bring your own one from Articulate. You break open Articulate.
Yeah.
Get the sand timer out of that. Yeah. That's a minute, so you just got to remember to turn it over 20 times.
Yeah.
And then you're done.
Bin the other pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
James, I don't think I've got a figure off you. What did you say for the year? Did you give me a...
I think I'd go 5 million. I'd go higher than Josh because I just don't think... I think it's going to be a miserable year. I can't think of any way round it. Becoming a farmer, maybe, but I think I would pretty quickly regret that. Although it's the best thing, best way of doing it. But any way else of doing it where you kind of like basically get mistaken for the Grim Reaper somewhere. I wouldn't want to work in a nursing home
totally.
Or anything like that. I'd feel that's cruel. I feel like anywhere would be just a bit, it really ruined people's nice time. So you'd have to become a farmer. And I reckon the toil of that would do my head in. And I'd really regret doing it. Even though at the end of the year, I would feel like I'm healthier than I've ever been.
Yeah.
I've got some new skills. I've got loads of like those are crops that I've you know, I've yielded.
Yeah.
I'd obviously go into I'd be a crop farmer with that with the scythe. I wouldn't be a animal farmer.
Yeah, totally.
I don't start like, you know, contributing to global warming with my beef farming or whatever.
Totally. Yeah.
Even though there are good ways of doing that, right? There are ways of doing the carbon neutral ways of doing that. Maybe I'll do that.
But just with the scythe.
I think if you turn up at you know, a field full of cows with a scythe, it's still quite sinister. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not solving any problems.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice reveal that at the end of the year, if you have been getting pretty, you know, getting ripped up for 12 months.
Yeah.
And then you just, at the end, you just take the cloak off.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not a big game, it'd be quite disappointing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Or if I'd actually, like, you know, I actually really let myself go over that amount of time.
Yeah, it's quite a forgiving garment, isn't it, the cloak? You could really balloon under there.
Yeah, it's very rare you're going to go, oh, God. I'm fitting too tightly into my Grim Reaper outfit.
Yeah, that's when it's time to cut back, I think.
Yeah.
When you're really packing out a pumpkin costume, you're like, okay, yeah, no. Let's scale it back. So in this round, I'm going to give the points to a Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm giving Josh 4 points, and I'm giving James 3 points.
Yeah, yeah.
So the reason is, I think if you got a... So if you got a job at London Dungeons, one of these role-playing places, they're probably on, what are they on? Tops, £9 an hour.
Uh-huh.
Work 40 hours a week, plus overtime, plus weekends.
Yeah.
You're not hitting 5 million in earnings.
No.
Yeah.
So based on that, I'm going to have to pick the lower amounts. I'm giving Josh the bigger points there. But I think we can all agree, pretty inconvenient.
Yeah, a bit of a nightmare.
Didn't think about London Dungeon, though. That would be...
Yeah, that would have been good.
That would be fun.
Still got to get there every morning, though, haven't you?
Yeah, and imagine if you didn't get the job as well.
Yeah.
You've turned up to the interview and they're like, no, you're still not right for it. You're like, what more can I do? We're still going with this other guy. He just... It's your personality, really. It's let you down. That's all we've got time for.
Wow.
Unbelievable, really. But so the total scores, James. Oh, no. Yeah, James, you've won.
Wow, the drama.
You've won 7-6.
Wow, that is a close one.
That was very close.
And that's a classic, isn't it? That's an absolute classic.
Oh, it's one for the neutrals, I think you'll agree. So, yeah, well done, James.
Yeah. What you got planned in London for the rest of the day, Josh?
I might take in a show.
London Dungeon?
London Dungeons, taking a show. Madame Two Swords.
Have a real London experience.
The authentic Cockney experience, living how all the Cockneys live down here. And I might is... do you know if there's any Pret a Manger's down here? I might drop into one.
If you got to know where to look.
That's all we've got time for on this week's Hypothetical Podcast. The winner is James Acaster. You've got 7 points. Josh, you've got 6. Well done to everybody. And thanks to everyone for listening. And someone else, we'll see you next week.
Hypothetical the Podcast is a Hattrick production for Dave. All episodes of Hypothetical the TV show are available on UK TV Play.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to nose around a comedian's house, take their stuff and see how much money you can make by selling it?
No, that's a pretty niche thing, to be honest. Bit creepy, really.
But that's the premise of Dave's brand new comedy podcast, Hard Sell, with me, Josh Jones.
And me, Darren Harrier. We're going to travel the country, visiting the homes of different comedians, chatting about their spending habits before grabbing one of their favourite possessions and giving ourselves 1 week to try and sell it for charity. In a competition to see who can raise the most money.
It's a right laugh as we get to meet amazing funny people like Kima Bob, Joel Dommett, Ria Lina, Ivo Graham, Josh Pugh and lots more.
But also sort of like an incredibly stressful cheese dream where we're trying to shift what are essentially stolen goods against the clock. It's bonkers.
Hard Sell with Josh Jones
and Darren Harrier.
Available now wherever you get your podcasts.